is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Svetlana Skarbo, the editor and publisher of Siberiana Times. The Siberiana Times is in English. You can access it on its website anytime. And we're going to tell stories of these last weeks in Siberia. And Svetlana is outside the very large city of Novosibirsk, where she tells me the snow is already flying. She's in a part of the outer city called Akademi Gorodok, which means the university town. Svetlana, a very good day to you in Siberia, or the edges of Siberia. I go immediately to a story that gripped me when I first read about it, the polar bear of Dixon, the Arctic pork of Dixon. The story is this two-year-old may be orphaned, maybe not, but for several days, he or she was observed hugging a heating plant. Its mother not available, waiting for its mother to return, was the speculation of the villagers. It looked as if it was not eating. Should it go back to the wild? Should it be gathered up and taken to a reserve? What can you tell me about the polar bear orphan of Dixon? Good day to you.
A very good morning to you, John. And that's actually the key question that Russian scientists have been absolutely racking their brains of whether what do you do with the polar bear when the mother is nowhere to be seen? Do you try and rush and take it to a nature park? Do you try to leave it? But then with the polar bear in such close proximity to town and dogs around and, children going to schools and obviously scared to go to schools with the polar bear being so close. So they've been trying for the last 6 days, they've been trying to understand what's best to do. And the idea was, the last we heard from the scientists, was that people will basically start feeding the polar bear with, but pretending that it wasn't people bringing the food in front of it. So trying to take it away from Dixon by putting, for example, the bits of seals or some other stuff, which normally is found by the bears. But by the time this was decided, the polar bear has vanished. And actually, we still don't know if the mother has reappeared. But so the latest from the Arctic was that the polar bear has gone somewhere, hopefully safely, hopefully, possibly, the mother was not far away and they've reunited. That's what I really want to hope.
I learned from your reporting that there's a debate, people who know polar bears, as to whether they can survive on their own at 2 years old or 1.5 or 3 years old. There was some attention to the fact that 3 is the minimum they can survive on their own. That hasn't been settled. So now we go to another story you tell me that's fresh. Another polar bear cub, this one younger, on Chukotka Island. What do we know about this polar bear, the baby?
So that's the baby, much, much younger than the previous cub, which was about, we think, judging by the looks, about 2 years old. And, yes, this would be on like the easternmost, tip of Russia, so called Chukotka. And, it's a very young cub, now seen for a couple of days around the villages and trying to steal food and, looking again, mother is nowhere to be seen and it's really difficult. As with the previous cub, it's still very difficult to understand the kind of what do people do, watch and let the cub be left without the food, or try and intervene and get the cub into the one of the nature parks. But as far as we know, the decision isn't made with this particular bear cub, and we have certainly been witnessing a lot of cases recently. I mean, this year alone has had one remarkable case, which we reported on in the summer, where a polar bear grown up this time, like around, don't know, over 3 years old, a female polar bear has walked an astonishing distance of over 1,200 miles south from the Arctic into Yakutia, and had to be taken first to the zoo in Yakutsk, which is the world's coldest city, and then moved on to the zoo in Moscow, where she's taken care of now. And I know that she had to have some dental surgery because one of her fangs was broken.
She was emaciated when they found her. Is that correct? The 1,200.
Oh yes, and that Yeah, she was in awful condition. She was emaciated. She was in really, really bad condition, and her paws were injured. So it definitely, I think that in this situation, in this particular case, that looks like the people intervened just in time. Usually it's a matter of big debates. Do people intervene at all, or do we just leave nature to deal with the bears and not do anything?
I read from the Siberian Times, you're reporting, that an Arctic traveler, Fyodor Konyakov, is concerned about what he's observing in the Arctic about the polar bears. He's concerned as the ice fractures and the polar bears are moving farther south. What does he observe about what they're doing in response to the climate change?
Well, that's exactly what, as you said, about them moving further south. And I mean, they're moving inland. They're moving into the territories and showing the habits which, for example, scientists who have been watching them for a while haven't noticed before. I mean, they're moving to a different type of food. They're trying to, I mean, because we have polar bears all across the Arctic territory from Yamal Peninsula and to the east at Chukotka. So we've just recently had a case of reindeer herders being threatened, like three families of them being threatened by a really hungry family of polar bears, a mother bear with two of her cubs. And they had to be sedated, I mean, all three of them, and they had to be moved by a helicopter away because the reindeer herders wouldn't be able to fight the polar bear. So, and that's normally not the territory on the Yamal Peninsula, that part of it. It's not at all the territory where polar bears would be going in the past. So something is happening, and the response to it isn't yet clear, as far as I can see.
More polar bear information from Siberian Times. You have a hospital. You have a maternity hospital for polar bears.
That's a very romantic name but it actually is like a maternity hospital because we have the Russia's northernmost nature reserve on the Wrangel Islands. So if you look like up in the middle of map of Russia, that's where you find it, like really high in the Arctic. And for whatever reason, the polar bears from across the globe choose this place, which as well has been the last place to see the woolly mammoths. That's where they basically finished their life. I mean, the last kind of chapter of their lives on Earth. So the polar bear mothers come to this place to give birth, up to 500 of them every season. And there's a scientific station. It's now like a Russian army base and also a scientific station where the scientists are observing these polar bears because it's a unique location to see so many mothers and so many cubs in one place.
This is Wrangel Island.
That's right.
500 mother bears a year give birth on Wrangel Island. Do they?
I know.
Wait. Do they know that there's a maternity hospital there? I mean, is this? Do they have a hospital card? Is there a direction? I mean,
I know. Something must be bringing them over there. Something must have been. Like some kind of instinct from the past that brings them back to that particular part of land because you will have other islands with same kind of weather conditions, but for whatever reason they're coming back there. Actually, I don't know. The scientists are just calling this place the maternity hospital for polar bears. And
500 really mothers, happy. Yes, I agree, yeah, and their cubs. Yeah. Now, Svetlana, let me review what I know about polar bears in Canada. They're extremely scary, correct? I mean, they're aggressive. They're dangerous. Is that correct?
It's correct. And they are the top of the, they are the biggest predator as well, I think, in the world. And what I know is from speaking to the person who is a biologist, he's called Leonid Zaika. He's the one who is doing beautiful reporting from the islands and walking there now. And he said that the polar bears, when they try to approach people, and they do try because, next to people, there's always some food and stuff. And when you try to scare them away, they hiss back at you like they're cats. And I found that really amusing to hear that polar bears like those giant scary creatures that they hiss, because I can't quite imagine that. I didn't see the video of polar bears hissing, but I find it really somehow, well, amazing, really.
Well, it reminds me of that cat, the cat that was featured in the Siberian Times recently that scared away a black bear, as I recall.
Yes, that's right.
So
that was a brown bear.
It was a brown bear. Perhaps the polar bears have learned from that cat that a hissing sound.
Polar bears, I don't think they have any, I would understand if it was a tiger because that's the same family. But for a bear to hiss, I don't quite, but they, I mean, they're saying that genuinely that's the sound they make, is that they hiss.
Svetlana
And also, sorry to interrupt you, the more amazing is that they sometimes waggle their tails. What are the tails they have? The tiny ones. They do that like dogs.
I'm speaking to Svetlana Skarbo, the editor and publisher of Siberian Times. We're speaking of polar bears because winter's coming on. However, there is business from summer, the wildfires, fires of Yakutia, and the concern about the peat in the underneath the wildfires. When we come back, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.